We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious. Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
It's a good day to be a Yankee fan. And I mean, I know we're going to start with you giving your grade of the weekend. You went to two games this weekend. You are more on hand. You're more on, you know, hands-on parent than I am when it comes to fandom right now. So, you know, before I explain why it's a good day to be a Yankee fan, take us through it, Nicholas.
Thank you, Jack. Yeah, I think me and you kind of had some different perspectives going into this weekend. I know you were kind of treating it like, you know, just another series, another team coming in.
Yeah.
For me, not just because of 2017, but for me, this was a massive series just to really see, you know, where we stand up. They're really the only other Titan in the American League. And I thought it was important to see, you know, where we stood up against them and, you know, to not lead the entire series. I mean, the only times they led were the two walk-off homers. So they didn't lead for an actual pitch of the entire series. They got no hit. They went 16 straight innings without a hit across, I think, three games. And, you know, I know, look, we'll talk about it. Thursday, pandemonium. Yesterday, pandemonium. A lot of fun. But honestly, I'm giving them a C for the split at home against Houston. I really wanted 3 out of 4. And to be honest, they easily could have lost all four. So I'm coming in with a C today. Might be a little harsh, but that's where I'm at.
Do you know what they call the person who graduates last in their class from medical school?
A doctor.
Yeah. Win's a win. Would you rather have the lead all game and then lose at the end, or win at the end and not have the lead the whole game? Here's the way I look at it. We just played a very tough first place team. They had a young starter. Is he a rookie, the kid?
Oh, Javier, the kid on Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think he's in his second year. That kid was...
So, very young. Gets hot. Has a hot game. We happen to have an off game. They happen to happen at the same time. That's all it is. That's all that is. So, the Yankees on Thursday night showed me that they are gritty. They've got stick-to-itiveness. They're not going to give up. Okay? I think, you know, obviously you want them to win every game by a billion. Not going to happen. So I take that win. It's an exciting win. I didn't watch a single pitch until Aaron Hicks' at-bat.
Wow.
I had called someone during the day to set up lunch 2 weeks from now, and they were like, oh, yeah, by the way, our house in Beach Haven's free this weekend if you want it. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I am like, yeah, I'm just going to drive to, we're going to drive to Beach Haven.
This is Thursday
afternoon. We decide we're going to feed the girls, load up the dogs, load up the kids, drive to Beach Haven. So By the time I get in there, I'm setting up a pack and playing all this stuff. Run over to Barry's, do me a flavor. If you know, you know. And get back, and I'm like, oh, the game. I totally forgot about the game. Let me throw this on. And my wife goes, oh, looks like they're going to lose this one. Now, she's seeing, you know, the game's on. But she's on TikTok. She's not paying attention most of the time. So she knows I'm happier in general than I have been in previous years. But she's not paying much attention to what's going on with the team. So she goes, I mean, no way. No way. This is. I go, no, they're going to win this game. This is what these guys do. No way. Okay. You fell into it. They're different guys now. All right. Boom, home run. Then, a little later, when we get to play at second base, she's like, see, this is where, you know, they turn back into a pumpkin. And we walk it off. And we smoke a huge joint. And everybody's happy. And we're on the bay, overlooking the Pearl Street tennis courts. It's a wonderful experience. And it's like, hey, this is great. But now also, I'm in Yes Country. Like, I'm just turning on cable and watching Yes.
That's nice. That's nice.
Which is, it feels good. And that's why then on Friday, I'm like, oh, now I got to go to Amazon. Like, what am I, some second class citizen here? What is going on? And, you know, hey, we lose that game and it's fine, you know, because you're going to lose a game. And after the excitement of Thursday, I'll take it. Saturday, we're dueling no hitters. And I'm just like, first of all, I need the Astros to get a hit because I am tired of, are they going to leave Cole in? What are they going to do? Well, he threw 112. And then, like, I don't need anything obvious happening in the game because I don't need Carlos Beltran to tell me the obvious thing. Like, I can't have a guy not give up hits into the fifth inning just because I don't need Carlos Beltran telling me that different than a regular pitch – doesn't want to give up a hit on this one. And so, like, hey, it happens, but I don't care. I don't care about no-hitters. I don't care when we throw them. I don't care when someone else throws them. I then drove home on Sunday. I got home. It's the seventh inning. Oof. And I'm like, all right, guys, let's stop fucking around. Because I had made the joke that, and I'll go on my political rant at the end of the show. I made a joke that the Yankees were more focused on women's rights than hitting the ball on Saturday because they're allies for Roe versus Wade. And then I turn on, I see seventh inning, no hitter. Also, someone had tweeted at me like, can they maybe show their support in a different way? Like, this is going to be a bit much. And so I quote tweeted and said like, yeah, I'd really like if they just started hitting, you know, something to that effect. Stanton goes deep. And it all turned there. I even, because driving back, the dogs, and my wife and I drove separately, so she had the kids. I was just like, I got to go in the pool. I turned on the radio and went in the pool and listened to fucking John and Susan. Not my favorite experience, but we won. And that's all that matters. So I'll give them a B. You get 3 out of 4, you get an A, you sweep it, it's an A+. But it's a B because you split a series during a time where, you know, you're at the end of a, you know, you're in a long stretch of games that's right after a long stretch of games. And it's Toronto, Tampa, Houston. Like it's this isn't the cupcakes. The cupcakes are coming up. So you split a series. It's not October. This team can change. Their team can change. We've eaten up more days on the calendar. We're 53-20 on June 27th. If it wasn't for the lockout and the makeup game on Thursday, I'd say it's a lock that we're going to be 56-20 going into July. And it's still a possibility because we're playing the Athletics, who stink at baseball. Like, really,
they're the worst team in the American League. Yeah.
They're the worst team in any organized league ever.
Flying East. I mean, there's no excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, get angry, get about the weekend, get excited about Sunday, whatever it is. Go push their shit in. That's all I care about. And so I'm not going to get upset because it's 20 wins. I mean, only 20 losses, June 27th. I mean, we've seen two releases of all-star ballots. Two counts of them, 20 losses. And you know what? I get it. You want to win every game. But we're at 53 wins, less than halfway through the season. I don't know what we're on pace for now. What, 115 wins, something like that? 117,
something like that.
Would you take a season where they win 110 games?
Of course, Jack.
Yeah, and you got to lose 52 to get there. There's no 52 you want. If I give you the calendar, you're not going to say, like, I want to lose those Royals games, because those Royals games, you lose that, that's embarrassing.
See, no, I would pick weeknight road games, because those are I know I'm not going to be there, so that eliminates those, yeah. And I'm less likely to watch them. But no, I see what you're saying. I think this is a classic glass half full versus glass half empty.
Yeah.
You're looking at the clutch hits. We still have the best record, but I'm seeing things that we were unable to do in 17 that we were unable to do in 19. Beat Justin Verlander. You know, you always talk about the 37 straight curveballs. You know, getting no for 16 straight innings. Like, I'm seeing some of these patterns that have eliminated us. And the bottom line is that if we want this parade that we talk about every week, we need to go through Houston to get where we need to go. It's obviously going to be us and them in the ALCS. You know, assuming we make it.
I don't know. Obviously, they could lose. I mean, we could lose.
They've been to the ALCS. I mean, they've been to the World Series three times in the past 5 years. Like, do you really have faith in another AL team knocking them off? Like,
I don't have faith in anything. But they don't play the games on paper. And they don't let Buster Only, like, simulate the games. They got to go out there and play.
I'd be stunned if somebody else knocks them off. I'm trying to even, like, if the fucking Blue Jays or somebody is going to – I mean, if that happens, you know, hallelujah. But I'm expecting to see them, you know, October 18th, whatever, game one at Yankee Stadium in the ALCS. And, like, we need to go out at some point and hang five runs on Verlander and beat him. And I know they only had one shot. They're probably not going to see him on Thursday because Houston reshuffled their rotation. Maybe they see him in that first doubleheader, you know, after the All-Star break. But there are certain things that I want to see them do against Houston that I still haven't seen. Does that make sense?
But, like, all right. So are you worried about us going into a playoff series against the Red Sox or the Blue Jays?
At this point, no.
So we go, we're going to play, boom, first round, we're going to play the Red Sox. You've looked through we're in the ALCS already.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'd be very confident. You know, I'd put money on that. I'd be confident there. Still baseball, still anything can happen, but I'm not really losing sleep over that.
Same thing, Blue Jays?
Same thing with the Blue Jays, yes. I think the Astros are like, dude, they have some sort of psychological edge over us. I felt like the Angels like that for a while under Torrey. We used to always lose to the Angels in the playoffs.
Mike Socha used to fuck us up every year.
Yep.
So I just look at it like, I'm not, you know, once you get to the playoffs, anything happens. You know, you get two bad games in a row, this series is, you know, pretty much over. You know, two guys have their off day. You know, Cole has an off start. Nestor, you know, the other team's just hot. Now you're down 0-2, whether it's a DS, CS, doesn't matter. You're in a bad position. Mm-hmm. The same thing can happen. Like, the same teams that I'd worry about, which is every team that's not the Minnesota Twins or the White Sox. Well, I don't know. The White Sox is Tim Anderson thing.
They suck. They're like under 500. They think they have the same record as the Orioles. They're like really bad, the White Sox.
Yeah, I thought they were in, like, contention.
Nah, they've been really slipping. They've been slipping.
Oh yeah, they're behind the Guardians. They're 5.5 back. But so yeah, I mean, any of those teams, like, one of them could pick off the Astros, or at the least wear them down, take them to five games, set things up in our position. So it's just like, I can't. Like, yeah, no, you know what? We haven't beat the Astros in the playoffs until we beat them in the playoffs, you know? But even if we don't play the Astros, if someone else, you know, beats them, I am not one of these people who is just like, give me your best competition. Let me play the Orioles in the ALCS.
Same,
you know,
same.
Like,
no,
just
no,
fucking win it.
Completely.
So yeah, if someone else could take off the Astros, if, you know, Justin Verlander blows out his arm again, you know, if Altuve gets kidnapped, Not like as like an adult, like a hostage thing, like just looking like a child on Halloween. And like if any of those things were to happen, it's a win's a win's a win to me.
No, I'm with you there, and I don't want to face them in the LCS. I would love if somebody else knocked them off. I'm not one of those guys that's like, I want to beat the best to really earn it. No, give me
beat whoever.
Give me the path of least resistance. And I know I was just a little bit negative. I'm gonna switch to a positive. The Hicks 3-run homer to tie it, and the DJ 2-run homer to tie it. Like, Judge is gonna get all the love because he had both of the walk-offs. Yeah. But I mean, those two homers to tie it were, you know, two of the biggest hits I've seen in a while. Especially DJ, because if you remember, there were two outs and two strikes in the eighth inning. I mean, that was a monster 2-run shot. And that was the first time I'd ever seen DJ LeMahieu pimp a home run, and it was fantastic.
They are getting like a lot of swagger to them. Even like Hicks, for as bad as Hicks has played, and I know like everyone loved him, he was like, oh, damn, like as he's still in his swing. Like, I mean, you still stink. Like, we are, you are 10, you're an 0 for 10 away from, we got to trade this guy again. Like, you bought yourself a weekend of reprieve. He's had a really good June. But I don't know that I like, don't get too cocky. I feel like you get those big hits, we're like one more big hit like that away. So let's stay out of the big hit situation. Let's just win the games by like three. But we're like one more cocky moment away from like club 161.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. And when Hicks did the thing where he pointed, stood there for about 20 minutes and then made the face, I immediately flashed back. I remember in 2020, Gary hit like a 500-foot game-winning grand slam, and you were like, dude, and Gary did some stupid thing where he stood there and watched it. I remember you saying, like, you know, dude, you're hitting 160. Like, it's cool that you hit the walk-off homer, but like, don't do that. And that's exactly how I felt with the Hicks thing.
Yeah. Like, let's, you know, keep him moving. A great home run. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But let's keep him moving. I think, you know, listen, Judge is locked in. Judge is locked the fuck in. You can't throw anything past him right now, and it's great. You love to see it. I think for generations his family will feel what he's done this year, and I'm very excited for him.
No, me too. And you know, just getting into the Judge and the whole contract thing, obviously now all of the noise is we got to pay this guy, whatever it takes, blank check is what I'm hearing. And it really reminds me of 2007 with Alex Rodriguez. And if you remember 2007, A-Rod had an opt-out. We all know he was going to use it. And his 2007 numbers, I looked this up today, 314, 54 homers, 156 RBIs, 156 ribbies, and a 422 OBP. So he had a better season than Judge is even on pace for. Like, that's how good his season was.
Probably won a gold glove, too.
He probably did. And I remember thinking at the time, like, we have no like, this might not end well, but we have no choice but to pay this guy. But I know this is going to end badly. That's exactly how I feel with Judge right now. Like, I feel like we are stuck between a rock and a hard place, and he's doing the same thing that A-Rod did in 07. Just curious what you think of that comparison.
I think it's a good – it's the reason that I've been saying to trade him for years so that we weren't in this situation. And yeah, like, so we're in this situation. I don't think you have to pay him. I don't like, yeah. Oh, great. Let's give him the A-Rod contract then. I'll give him $25 million a year.
I think A-Rod was 275 over 10. And God, I mean,
there we go. That'd be a steal.
Such a disaster. I mean, now it would, but that was such a disaster for us. I know they won in 09 and he had the 33 homer season when he was 40, I think in 2015. Other than that, that contract was a total disaster. The second one.
Yeah. I mean, so what did we offer Judge? 7 years?
213 and a half over seven.
And it was like what?
30 and a half a year.
30 and a half a year, including this year. So he would have been 37 coming
in. No, it was after. Like, they were going to give him the 21 for this year.
21 and then
213 and a half over seven.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still comfortable with that contract. Like, there's just not a 38-year-old that has signed – like, no one signed that contract before and just lived up to it the whole time. Like, no one has. You know it's a loss.
The only one I can think of that worked perfectly, and he was, and it was only a 7-year deal, was the Scherzer contract for the Nationals. Like, he dominated through that entire deal. That was only 7 years, though.
It's different. That's a starting pitcher, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I agree with your point. Like, most of these deals don't work out. We hope Coles does.
Yeah, I don't think – so I think at the end of the season, let's say Judge hits 55 home runs, all right, conservatively. I know he may hit in the 60s. He may only hit 50. So 55, I feel like, is fair. And what, he's batting around 300 now, right?
Yeah, like 290, something like that, 295.
Okay. So let's say he hits 300, has 100-something RBIs, 55 home runs. He's 30. He's going to be 31 years old a week into the season. I don't think that with those numbers – with the history of games missed, with his size, that people are going to have the years. He wants 9 years. Nobody's giving him 9 years. And if someone does come over the top, like the Mariners did with Cano, and it could be the Mariners this time too, and says, we're going to give you 9 years, $30 million a year, sign that contract, Aaron. You should. The Yankees should not go near that. Now, if the Yankees wanted to offer him $45 million a year for 3 years, I'm in favor of that. You're going to get that, you know, output.
He would laugh at that, though. I mean, he wouldn't even – he would laugh at that.
No one's – Carlos Correa wasn't going to – Carlos Correa's 4 years younger.
It's interesting, yeah.
No one was.
Yeah, no, I think they're fucked either way, because if they pay him, they're going to be fucked for the end of the contract. And if they don't pay him, you can't just replace him with anybody, and they're having a gaping hole in their lineup next year. So they're really, it's really a bad spot. They should have extended him when he was like, you know, 26, 27 at maybe a better rate when his value wasn't as high. This, I feel like they've kind of backed themselves.
I think he was always going to free agency. After that, you know, the pop in 16 and then 17. He was going to go to free agency.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah. I think they're screwed either way. I don't think there's really a win here. I mean, at this point, I'd maybe go 8 years, 35 a year. What's that, like 280? I still don't think he gets 300. 300's a lot.
8 years? You're going to pay a 37-year-old, 38-year-old, 39-year-old, Aaron Judge, 30-something million. You're just going to have a 30-something million dollar a year hole in the – the lineup, because physically he's not there.
I would hope at 37 he could still hit, you know, 25, 30. But I hope the power.
You're paying $1 million a home run now.
I guess, man, that's the cost of doing business. I don't know what else to do. We're going to have him not in center field next year.
You don't want to have him in center field next year.
Or right field. We need him in the line. I mean, dude, you take him off this team, they're a lot worse. They're a lot worse.
Yes, if you take the best player in baseball this season out of the lineup, the lineup is impacted, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when he was injured and he missed time, there was a hole in the lineup. But that hole was a $10 million hole. If it happens again, and it will, that has nothing to do. This isn't an attack on Aaron Judge. This is his size and age. So when I was talking about before, when he was 28, it was like, yeah, you're 28. Like, that's a good amount to be injured, 29. He's going to be 31 by like April 15th of next year or something. It's like, you know, first week of April is his birthday. So it's a sunken cost to what? To keep people coming to games who are going to come to games anyway? You can fill that hole. It's almost like Moneyball, but already spending $350 million.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's not. I agree that it's not smart business wise. But you know, while Cole is in his prime, while Stanton's in his prime, I'd rather have him on the team for the next 3 or 4 years. And if that means they get burned a little bit at the end, they get burned a little bit at the end. I mean,
there's
really,
not,
it's the same
there's
way
no
I felt
little
about
bit of burn. There's a lot of burn.
Yeah,
like A-Rod came back, and yeah, he hit the 33 home runs, but like tying up the DH spot, he wasn't around for 2014. You know, at all. He battled a lot of injuries at the end. And like that, you know, the end of Jeter's career was negatively impacted by lack of flexibility due to that, and we ended up having to release him and eat a year of the contract. Like, we paid him for 1.5 years to not be on the Yankees.
Yeah, no, I get it. I said it's a lose-lose to me. And if they do let him go and you want to quote-unquote replace him, other than Juan Soto, I really can't think of anybody that you can really replace him with.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no – but, like, you're not even guaranteed that he's going to be him next year.
That's true. Look, yeah.
He did it in 2017. He's doing it in 2022. There's a lot of years in between there.
There are. The one thing I'll push back on the injury thing, he's been pretty healthy under Cressy.
He has. I think they've changed the, you know, the way they treat injuries. Like, it's obviously, it was a huge issue for a long time. It's gotten much better. People his size do not last as position players in the game of baseball. They just don't. And, like, maybe he's the freak. He's the first guy to do it. He's going to play till he's 40. But in all likelihood, like, those knees, those ankles, those hips, it's just, it's a lot of man to be carrying around. That's just the science behind it. And I think other teams are going to feel the same way, because for us, we've had him for, it'll be parts of 7 seasons now, right? So we want to get years 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 is what you're talking about. Which, like, there's definitely more value to, like, you know, you've had him the whole time versus the Mariners are just, you can sell 4 years of Judge jerseys. I don't think that they are, you know, gonna do, you know, I don't think, like, that anyone's coming over the top like that.
Yeah, and I don't think – I also do think that, you know, if he had his druthers, he'd rather be here. Like, I know he's from the West Coast, but I think he'd rather be playing at Yankee Stadium in front of our crowds than, I don't know, San Diego or San Francisco or something. Like the West Coast, there's big cities, but it's not the same. It's not the same spotlight.
Yeah, well, you want to be on you want to be on the Today Show or Good Morning America where it's everywhere in the country, or you want to be on Good Morning – you know, Wake Up San Francisco with Danny Tanner? I mean, those are the options, you know, he recognizes that. I mean, he knows this is Hollywood Aaron. He knows what he's doing. And don't listen, if the Dodgers didn't have Mookie Betts, you know, like, yeah, maybe. But, like, they've got their big outfielder contract. So
and they have studs all over the field. I mean, they don't.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that. That's a team that I worry about, like, going out and spending. I don't think the Giants are going to in that way. I don't think the Mariners are going to. Also, between now and when that contract happens, recession. Like, the economy doesn't look great right now. And getting tied up in long-term guaranteed contracts is not what I think billionaires like to do. It's not how you become a billionaire, and it's not how you stay a billionaire.
Generally not. And the funny thing to me is, like, we'll have these same people on Twitter that are whining about the Stanton contract, right? The fact that we have to pay him $22 million a year until I think he's 37. And these same people that are complaining about that want to give Judge $40 million a year for 10 years. It's like, you know, like the joke writes itself.
We're paying, I know there's bonuses, but, like, we're paying $22 a year that counts towards our salary cap. On Donaldson, and he's 36. I don't think Aaron Judge is playing, like, looks $10, $11 million better than Donaldson does right now at 36, 37.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And Donaldson's done nothing. I actually, that was my next topic. 226, 6 homers, 320 OBP. Did you see? And dude, we talk about the pimping, the home shoulder runs. Dude, Friday night, he hits a ball that, like, barely, I think it one hopped the wall, and he stood there and he got so lucky that it bounced over.
Yeah.
He thought it was, like, going to be, you know, into the bleachers. Dude, what the fuck are you doing?
People are getting caught. I told you, we're one big hit away from Club 161. People are, they're getting a little, we had to get no hit on Saturday. Otherwise, there would have been a club. There would have been a club.
They would have done it. They would have done it. And to me, this is just, again, I think I tweeted this. It's the latest example of Cashman has this infatuation with getting former Yankee killers 5-7 years too late. Randy Johnson, Vernon Wells, Kevin Youkilis. I could spend a whole podcast.
Cecil Fielder.
He
didn't get Cecil Fielder, but that was Watson.
But Donaldson, to me, is just the latest dud of that. Like, that's all I see with him, is a former Yankee killer that sucks now.
Yeah, but they wanted – he was the piece to get IKF.
Right, who's been, I'd say, mediocre at best.
Who's on a team that's 53-20, and he's played a role in that. Not everybody can win the MVP. They give out one MVP award at the end of the season. They can't
split it
9 ways.
He could be better defensively. He's got zero defensive runs saved. He's supposed to be Ozzie Smith out there. He's been very average in the
season. I didn't know. I never heard it was Ozzie Smith.
People were hyping him up. Gold Glover. He's going to
win a Gold Glove and a Cracker Jack year at third base.
You don't want to see more out of him defensively? He's got 8
Yeah, I do. I do.
Ball.
But I'm not going to start. It's not Glaber.
It's true.
Okay. And yeah, it's not Correa, but I think he's playing at least more than 1/7 as good as Carlos Correa is.
More than 1/7.
Yeah. We're paying him 1/7 of the salary.
Yeah. No, I mean, I never was in on Correa either, but it's like, and look, we can spin this positively. I mean, we're getting basically nothing out of Donaldson and IKF, and we're still, whatever you just said, 53-20. If they could somehow pick it up, we're even better. But I mean, I'm looking at the left side of the infield right now, and I see two holes.
You can't say he's got, it's not like he's giving up extra runs. I mean, he's playing.
Donaldson's been good in the field. I'll give him that. But he's supposed to be a slugger, man. He's supposed to, like...
Yeah, well, he's got this shoulder. This shoulder's going to be an issue the whole year. Like, to a certain extent, it may be in the Yankees' best interest if that shoulder got worse. And he just had to, you know, I got to shut it down. And then you've got...
And then what, DJ to third, and just put DJ at third, Glaber at second.
DJ at third. Maybe you call up Peraza.
Which I thought maybe they would do that today with, Glaber's going to be down a couple of days. They're talking about maybe IKF going on the IL eventually too.
Yeah, I mean, we've had two big stretches of a lot of games and not a lot of days with some tough games. We played a lot of games on turf in the last week. So, you know, those injuries are going to come, and you hope they're, 10-day stints, 15-day stints, whatever it is. They're not longer. But to a certain extent, it's like, the injuries are going to come. It's like some injuries are going to come.
Yeah.
This isn't the like, based on someone's history. In general, the team's going to have injuries. I'd rather get them out of the way June, July, figure out, because we've got to figure out if we're going to make moves, if we need to make moves. But yeah, I think if IKF went on the IL, then yeah, you're going to see Peraza.
Which would be awesome. And then Cashman's really raved about his glove. I'd love to see him flash some leather a little bit. But, I mean, injury-wise, we've been extremely lucky. The entire rotation has been completely healthy. I think Stanton missed exactly 10 days on the IL. But Judge has been completely healthy. DJ's been healthy. Rizzo's been healthy. They've been very healthy as a whole.
Yeah, well, I think Rizzo came into camp in just a different shape than we've ever seen him before. Judge is... I don't know what he's doing, but, he's as ready as he's ever been. There have been times for some guys where you've even been like, maybe that hamstring gets a little tight. Take a couple days, let us see something else. But, I get the complaint. I get the frustration. You're a guy who wants to win every game. I want to win every game, too. I understand that we're not going to. And deep down, you know that we're not going to. I don't know that you understand that we're not going to win every game.
Yeah, you're right. My friend tells me that I bring, he calls it a football like mentality to a 162 baseball season. Yeah. So I get it.
It's impossible. I was on ESPN Syracuse today and I said the same thing. I was like, listen, if you want to win every game, you picked the wrong sport to be a fan of.
Yeah.
Dramatically.
That's true. I don't even know if it's about winning every game. It's just looking at what's happening now and I'll envision October. You know what I mean? And I picture these two guys on the left side of the infield, and then I see that they have Bregman and then that Wiz at shortstop. Like, I'll be honest. I am like the like I'm always comparing myself to the Astros. Like I'm like an insecure high school girl that's comparing herself to the girl across the locker when I look at Houston. I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, you didn't have to tell me that for me to know that. I'm here every week, and on text messages. Like, yeah, no, I know. All you care about is Houston.
Is beating them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even, like I said, it's not even because of 17. It's because we need to beat them to get where we need to go. That's why.
Yeah, I understand. Like, they are the most likely last step to get to one step from where we want to be. Like, I totally understand that. I just think that right now, like, the team's playing well. Overall, things are trending well. I'd like, to stay within ourselves. Stay together as a team. That's the biggest thing to me, is like they've really been a team. Like, this team feels like a team.
Yes.
Not agreed. Just like a bunch of guys. And especially for the names that we have too. Like, you've got Stanton, Judge, Cole, Gallo is a name. Rizzo is a name. Donaldson is a name. We've had so many teams, especially in the like 2000s, where it's just like we're just assembling all-star teams. You know, Glaber's a name. He's a two-time all-star. Possibly a three-time All-Star coming up. DJ LeMahieu won a batting title in both leagues. I mean, if this doesn't scream, Gary Sheffield, Bobby Abreu, like
Kevin Brown.
Yeah, just throwing it. Randy Johnson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If this doesn't scream, just throwing names. Well, like, that's what Kluber felt like last year. But these guys have come together.
The chemistry's great. Yeah, the chemistry is great, and we trash on Boone a lot. Obviously, Boone's strengths are not his in-game decision-making or his injury updates. I think his strengths are managing these egos and getting everybody pulling in one direction. And, he seems like a guy, he grew up around the game. He grew up playing catch with Pete Rose or whatever when he was 10. He's not intimidated by the names or the egos, and I think he's good at just kind of getting everybody flown in the right direction for sure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
And, now we get to play a crappy, crappy Athletics team at home. We have to go to Houston for one game, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
just
oh
in general.
God. And then to Cleveland.
And then we go to Cleveland. They're a second place team in a crappy division. So I'm not that worried about them. We get to go to Pittsburgh for two games. And then you go to Fenway. And, you know, the Red Sox are the hottest team in second place 11 games back in baseball. But, like, they've come from the cellar to be, like, they're a hot team. They're going to be ready to play us in 2 weeks in Fenway. And then luckily, like, you get to cool off again against the Reds. Then you've got Red Sox, All-Star game, doubleheader for Astros. Like, there isn't, there are little pockets of rest where, like, you need to keep eating. But as long as we keep winning series or splitting series with first place teams, I'm okay with the idea that we can make improvements via trade or, you know, IL. Because now we've got Chapman coming back. Loizaga is coming back.
Herman's not too far off either.
Yeah, fuck him. You know, you can't get rid of Roe versus Wade and bring Herman back the same week. It's just, it's a big no-no. But Britain, you know, like there are improvements to be made. And then I think if you're right there, because I've said for years, it's up to the players who are currently on the team to show that the team should invest in them at the deadline. And with that, some people do have to go, and you do know, you know, someone's on the way out. But I think that they're doing that this year. Like, you, if it's, I don't know where they are with luxury tax and the thresholds off the top of my head. But if it's like, hey, let's take on $10 million for the rest of the year, Cashman doesn't have to go out and go, we'll give you an extra minor leaguer if you pay the, you know, $300,000 for the rest of the year. No, let's go out there. Let's pick up a fucking contract and let's mash.
Yeah, I expect us to be very active at the deadline, and Cashman knows this is a team that can win it all, which I think will allow him, you know, to kind of open up and be more aggressive. But you're right, they do have a lot of reinforcements on the way. I think Chapman is going to be activated. I mean, we're recording this Monday, I think Tuesday.
Yeah, I think so.
Tuesday or Wednesday he's going to be activated. And you look at week three with Oakland and then the, you know, the Houston game. Just give me three of those four. Either take two out of three from Oakland and beat Houston, or, you know, if they sweep Oakland, I'm not going to be heartbroken if they lose that one game. I mean, that's just a weird fly to Houston and leave anyway. Yeah. It's kind of a fugazi, so, you know, whatever.
And I think, like, the Oakland series and the Indian series are good. Like, Oakland is awful. Cleveland's, like, a decent team. So you go in there and, like, you take two out of three on the road, or you get a sweep on the road. That builds the confidence up, and it's in a way that you deserve. It's not beating the Royals for three and Kauffman, which, like, their high school teams can do that, you know. And then you go to Pittsburgh, you have some Permanti brothers, have, you know, walk the river,
listen to some Mac Miller, and
yeah, and then you get ready to go up to Boston.
That will be a big series, especially. So I think we're up 11 on the Red Sox right now. I mean, if they shave that to even 8 or 9, I mean, that's a big series. And under Boone, I don't know what the record is, but they have played horrible in Fenway, under Boone specifically. I mean, I think they've won like 30% of the games there or something.
I think anybody with a brain knows the Yankees are up 11 games on the second place Red Sox. They've been up big the entire season. They could still be up 11 games going to Fenway, lose fucking 4 games, and the season could fall apart quick.
Easily.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I think we all know it could.
Yeah, it's scary going up there. I always think back. I remember in 2018, they got swept in a 4-game series, just like you said, and it totally derailed this season. It can happen. That's going to be a monster series. It'll be cool to go see them play in Pittsburgh. I feel like they never play, like, all these stadiums that I want to go to, like Pittsburgh, it's always a Tuesday.
Yeah.
They never go to these places on a weekend.
Yeah, you don't get, they haven't done like a weekend in Pittsburgh, maybe like ever.
Yeah.
Because that's one that I would do. Like, even when I lived in New York, like that'd be an easy one to do. Whether you decide, like, screw it, we're going to take the 5-6 hour drive because it's just like, whatever, we'll listen to a podcast. Or the, you know, the quick flight out there, it's somewhere I would definitely go. I'm excited for the change in scheduling so that you're playing everybody every year. So every other year we're going to be in Pittsburgh. Like, you think you got to get a weekend at some point. Like, that's going to hurt, like, the Guardians. Like, you got to lose a weekend. But I think they try to give everyone who the Yankees regularly play, so everyone in the AL, I think they get a weekend.
Yeah, it'll be better for us too, because I think we've talked about it. Like, most of the destination cities and ballparks are in the National League. Like, I don't want to go do a weekend in Detroit or Cleveland, you know, or even like Minnesota. Like, they're just not like those AL Central teams, and you know, even the AL West, it's Oakland and I guess Dallas for the Rangers. Like, there's just not a lot of destination cities in the American League. Most of them are in the National League.
Yeah, I don't know if that's because of like the scarcity, but like Milwaukee's a fun drinking city. You want to go there.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to Chicago, you'd rather go to Wrigley.
They got San Diego, they got Denver, they got San Francisco. I just feel like the National League overall has better cities. But I mean,
yeah,
it'll
going
be cool
to Denver, like, going to yeah. Denver to see the Yankees play. They played there like 3 years ago. I tried to swing it, and I couldn't at the time. Yeah, but like, yeah, I've never. I don't have like on my bucket list of like, I want to get to Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, not really. But no, it'll be cool. And then we'll play. I think it's they play like they won't go more than a year without playing every team. So like we'll play the Phillies every other year.
In Philly.
So that'll be cool. Yeah, so that'll be
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, so like we'll get those, which is nice. Yeah, but I'm looking because I would assume you get it both ways. Like, yeah, every other year you play them. At home or away. I don't think they'll split it where it's like 2-2.
No, yeah, probably not. Although that's what they did last year. Are you worried about Nestor at all? He's got a ERA over 4 in June. Do you think he's coming back down to earth or?
Yeah, probably. Like, yeah. Oh, Nestor, shocker, Nestor Cortez is not the best player in baseball. I mean, I think I've been saying that all.
I was hoping maybe he'd be like a great number two, and that might have been – I might have been reaching.
But, you know, he may have – like water finds its level. He – amazing April and May, rough June. July, if he pitches to like a 3.25, he's still having a great season. Like he's not – I never thought Nestor Cortez was going to start the All-Star game. I think he could be in the All-Star game. I think Fox would love to interview him. You know, talk about like, you know, how kooky he is or whatever in the bubble gum.
The cafe.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Nasty Nestor's Cafe. What yeah. a name for a coffee shop.
So, but yeah, I at 53-20, I have a hard time not just trusting that the people running the team are going to do the right things to get us the rest of the way and then win the World Series and Brian Cashman retires.
That would be nice. And when you look at, I like, obviously you want to enjoy the day to day, but it's impossible for me not to think about October. And you figure, look, they probably have four spots in the rotation in October. You figure Cole and Severino are probably locks. And then I look at it as Nestor, Tyone, and Gumby kind of battling it out for spots 3 and 4. Is that how you see it? Or do you see it differently?
I think Montgomery probably has a really good shot. At getting there. I don't know what we're going to see from Nestor. Like, I mean, it can happen to anyone, but it's far more likely that like he falls apart than anyone else. Just in terms of like ability the rest of the season. I think I'm a hot hand guy. So you just play the hot hand. I think Nestor, I think there is a situation where, cause you don't need 4 starters for the division series. And Nestor,
oh, right. You only need 3.
And Nestor's a rubber
or you need
arm
4.
Guy.
Yeah,
Nestor will give you 2 innings in game 1, 2 innings in game 2, in game 3, you know, no problem.
Probably more value. Like Nestor can be valuable out of the pen, and I don't know if those other guys, like I can't see Montgomery coming in the 3rd inning or Tyone. Like they're just starters. Nestor, like you said, he doesn't give a fuck.
Nestor's out there playing baseball.
Not going to be like J-Hap crying because they brought him in and the
yeah. No, you put me in a playoff game? Fuck yeah. Like, fuck yeah, let's go do it. Oh, the bases are loaded, no outs? Like, he's going to give you the same effort and have the same mentality of, like, just, you know, the opportunity that's in front of him. Whether you're handing him the ball for game 1 or you're handing him the ball in the 7th inning, bases loaded, no outs.
Yeah, no. No, he will. And the last thing I wanted to just touch on from the weekend, I hope this is the start of him getting hot. Homered Friday, homered Sunday. They were both pretty far. He'd been slumping pretty bad. His average was down into the 240s, and he only
had
14
homers.
Yeah.
When he goes the other way, and gets into that right center field gap, like that's when he's at his best. When he's driving the ball in the right center field gap, he's more locked in. Like he'll still pull the ball too. He's just more likely to pull the ball if he's locked in going the other way as well.
Yeah, I think the one Friday was right down the right field line, and then yesterday was just a missile into Monument Park, which was awesome.
The one down the right field line was just like, that was just muscle. Like that wasn't even like a full swing. I think he caught himself by surprise.
Yeah, no, that was pretty close to me. But yeah, no, fun weekend overall. I mean, like I said, the DJ homer, everybody talks about Thursday, but the DJ homer was so big to me because if he doesn't hit that, you know, they're definitely probably losing 3 out of 4. To hit that with 2 strikes and 2 outs was awesome. But I know you want to talk about Aaron Judge and Twitter.
I'm unblocked. What are the odds? After he hit the walk-off the next morning, there was a video that was put out. It was like a promo video for Ric Flair. Ric Flair's having his last match for the 100th time. He's probably going to have a heart attack and die in the ring. He really shouldn't be doing it. But he cut an awesome promo. And he's just like, yeah, well, because I'm the fucking man. And so I had clipped that. And I was going to be like, you know, Judge hyping himself up. I forget. I tweeted something like that. He then, as I'm like typing it in, because I was like, oh, I'm going to tag him in it. It populated. When you're blocked, it doesn't populate. So I'm like, what is this about? Cancel this entire post and let's start doing some investigating. And yeah, I've been unblocked by Aaron Judge. I wonder, you know, there's a part of me that is like, he started fucking mashing and is like, I'm going to unblock the haters so they can, you know, apologize to me, acknowledge me. In all likelihood, his agency just like focused more on social media and like someone's handling his accounts. It was just like, I don't know. This guy with like 35,000 followers who's a Yankee fan. Maybe we shouldn't block him. You know, like I can see why I'm blocked. I can't see at all why I'm unblocked unless it's either an agency. The most likely thing is it's just a business decision that someone else made. But I do like the idea that he was just like, how's my dick taste? JJ, how's it fucking taste? Yeah, I got my teeth fixed. Fuck you.
There's probably like, I'm sure he did that with like, you know, there's probably like 8 to 10 JJs that he probably did that with, like people that he had marked down, you know, not I'm going to show them, but yeah, like exactly like yeah. You just said.
I mean, I've been on it for a long time.
You were first. You were definitely first.
First to market. And it because when we traded for Brandon McCarthy,
God, that's random.
Okay. Like 20.
Yeah, 14, 15. Yeah.
So we traded for him. And I was like, I think he's got a fucking hot wife. So I see it. And I wrote a blog for Barstool, like pretty much like we traded for whatever her name is. Because like Brandon McCarthy wasn't really that good at baseball, but she's hot. And then I could see like based on her tweets, like she's a party girl or like she was. I was big on Boozy Brunch, so I tweeted at her for like 35 straight days, just like, hey, we should have Boozy Brunch. We should have Boozy Brunch. Like, yo, let's do brunch, go to a game, da-da-da. Like, it's not sexual. My wife is going to come. Like, I'm not trying to, like, make it any weirder than, you know, I'm like a 28-year-old, 29-year-old guy who just wants to have Boozy Brunch with you and you can party with me and my girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally, one day, they're on the road. I tweeted and Brandon McCarthy was like, you need to fucking relax. I don't know if he said fucking, but like, yo, you need to relax. And then she
blocked. Now, was that a DM or was that a tweet?
That was a tweet. It was probably, it was like a quote tweet. Like, you need
to. Oh, wow. Did you delete it or is it still out there?
It's probably gone because I cleared out like all my Twitter history when the Susie stuff happened.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because people are going to go looking for like a joke that didn't hit right.
Yeah.
I've never tweeted any rap lyrics. I'm not supposed to, if you know what I mean. Yeah. I'm not Nestor. So I just my wife was like, oh man, like, you know, you got blocked by her. She said that, you know, not good. And I was like, you know what that means, right? She was like, yeah, the guy, you know, because Barstool's taken off. She's like, you know, yeah, you're not going to get to me. I go, no, no, no. That means that he's in the hotel and he's just like, yeah, you know, tough loss to the Twins or whatever the fuck. And she's just like, this guy really wants to have brunch with me. And the McCarthys had to have a discussion about me. And so I like to think that Aaron and his wife are like, I don't know, you know, he made fun of your DUI. Should we made fun of my teeth? But you know what? I'm going to walk it off. Let's fucking see what he's got to say. Far less
maybe
likely that
discuss
happened.
It. So you think it was the agency?
Yeah. I very much think it was not Aaron Judge. I think Aaron Judge knows who I am to the extent that, like, if I met him, if someone introduced us and I was like, oh, hey, what's up? Yeah. Used to be at Barstool, you know, JJ or, you know, whatever. Anything other than just Jack Jokinen, like if it was JJ, Yankee fan, I think he'd be very professional about it. But I think he'd be like, this guy's a piece of shit.
Would you even want to meet him at this point?
Like, no, I don't really want to meet fucking any of these guys. I don't give a shit. Yeah. Like I stopped. Yeah, like I really don't care to meet any single one of them. What am I going to talk to them? Because like, if it's just be like, oh, quick, can I get a picture? Like, I'm a 37-year-old man. Like, I will. If I do meet them, that's what's going to happen. So that's the thing. Yeah. It's not like, oh, it's not cool. It's like, I'm going to embarrass myself. Like, both my grandfathers fought on foreign shores so that I could get a half chub meeting fucking Aaron Judge. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, and I think you're the one that said it. It's like meeting Jeter would be such
It'd be
letdown.
The worst. No worse situation. There is no more of a nightmare situation than me having to pose for a picture with Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
This is it. You get one picture with your hero, and there's no way I'm not going to look bloated. No way. One, because I'm bloated. Two, because I probably ate French fries or something during the day. Like, it's not good. Like when it was like his retirement day and he was in suite two and we were in suite four, I had said to my wife, like, hey, if I meet, like, you just start fucking snapping pictures because I can't pose. We just got to find one where, like, I can crop my gut and, like, you know, I just look like a normal person. Like, I have a
and
bunch
there's
of
nothing that you could say either. Like, what would you even say? Oh, thanks for making my childhood.
Interesting.
Like, that sounds so terrible.
Yeah. Like, I would hang out with. I used to want to go to Donovan's and run into Cone and Wells, and like I had talked to Cone, like we were trying to put it together, like very on the DL, like, hey, this is where we are, you can come meet us and shoot the shit, because like I loved Boomer Wells until he went to the White House, and so like that'd be cool if I could shoot the shit with them, tell funny stories, but like Derek Jeter has no interest in anything I have to say.
Right. Yeah. Any of those guys. Mariano, what are you going to talk about? Like church? Religion?
Yeah. Like, also being at the White House, like, again, Paul O'Neill, all these fucking Trump guys. Like, yeah, I knew they were stupid, but they were good at baseball. Like, what am I going to talk to Aaron Judge about? You know?
Yeah. No, nothing.
When it was like when Clint or Jackson, whatever his name is now, was coming along, I went out with him because like I was in my early 30s. I knew New York. I had a little sway places. So it's like, I could kind of impress you maybe, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I didn't. I did not. I definitely didn't. Like we became friendly, but it wasn't like, oh, this is fucking sick. Good thing you brought me to this bar with sawdust on the floor. That's tight. Number 5 pick.
Didn't you get drinks with the Blue Jays guy that made like 4 errors in one inning against us?
I was out with Clint and Derek Fisher at the same time.
Derek Fisher, that too.
Yeah. Derek Fisher is like the fucking nicest guy. I love Derek. I don't even know where he is now. He was on that 2017 team though.
I remember because it was like the day after he made 4 errors against us, we did a podcast. You're like, I just got to say, that is the nicest guy ever.
He is. Super nice guy. We were at a bar. And he hadn't been called up yet, but his agent's like, he's going to be up. Like he's, you know, whatever. So I'm talking to him. We're hanging out. Da, da, da. I go and I get a pack of cigarettes. I go to smoke a cigarette, you know, drunk cigarette. And he's like, yo, let me get one. I was like, I'm going to get cigarettes. He was like, yo, I'm in. Like, get cigarettes. So I'm talking to him. This guy is – obviously, he's in much better shape than me. But, like, I'm 6'1". So we're, like, the same – you know, we probably weigh the same. His is muscle. Mine's fat, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We look like just two dudes who could be hanging out. So we're standing there. I'm opening the cigarettes. And I go, so what, you were first-round pick? And he was like, yeah, like 30th pick or, you know, some shit like that or whatever his pick was. And I was just like, all right, so I'm just going to ask you because otherwise I'll just Google it anyway. What was your signing bonus? He was like, I was like 1-4 or whatever it was. And I go, why the fuck am I buying the cigarettes, my guy? He bought shots.
Patrick Corbin bought me two shots of Patron.
I remember
at Morgan's Pier. And dude, and you talk about a guy that would never get recognized. He's just basically another skinny 6'2 guy in a button down. Like, it more like dime a dozen, like, you know what I mean? Like, trip over those guys. And I was the only one that recognized him. But yeah, no, that was a fun night. I'm trying to think what else. What else did I have here? Oh, Glaber, in addition to his mild ankle sprain, has wrist inflammation. He's going to be shut down for a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's like, if we're going to make the IL move, like, figure it out by tomorrow. And, you know, Peraza's been playing a little bit around the infield because he's traditionally only played shortstop. So they've been trying him in some other positions too. And if we can get the guy up and get him some exposure, like, you know, when there's an injury, it's all hands. If a guy's in AAA, he's as ready for the majors as he's going to be. So let's just do what, you know, what we have is a special thing going on at the major league level. So whoever can contribute that. And I'm not worried about, well, if we bring him up and then Glaber comes back and we got to send him down, like, you know, do we hurt his – I don't care about his feelings. The only feeling I care about is World Series feeling.
100%. And I don't know if you remember, in 2017, Glaber was in AA for like – it was like 3 weeks. Like, it was like nothing. Then they sped him into AAA, and he was going to come up at the end of 17, and then he tried diving into home plate and – he actually needed Tommy John on his non-throwing elbow, but he was going to come up at 20. So with that, do you think there is any chance? I know it's pretty unlikely, but any chance that they kind of speed Volpe up and maybe we see him in September? I think he's about to get promoted to AAA. He's been dominating the past few weeks.
So he's started off slow. He's had a couple really good weeks, top ranked. Like, if he gets to AAA and he mashes and IKF is slumping – like really slumping, maybe. If you're 10 games up in the division and you've got a guy playing, you know, better than replacement level shortstop, it's tough to make that move and throw off the dynamic of the team.
Do you think it really throws kid. Off
you've,
the
– you've got this hot – the culture for this team right now is so good that, like, there is something to bringing up the number one prospect in baseball. Is that, like, that's what he is now, right?
Yeah, he's number one. He's 21 years old. I guess he's still only hitting .238 in AA. I've been seeing is that he's been raking. I mean, he must have had a horrible start.
He was really bad to start, him and Peraza. Peraza hadn't played good this year, and they were getting hot, like, the last 2 weeks. So, and more power. I think it's a lot of power numbers. So,
he's got 10 bombs already.
Yeah. So, you know, if you call up the number one prospect in baseball in September for a team that's in first place by 10, 12, 8 games, you know, whatever, something like that, you do risk. You're changing that. You're putting a lot of pressure headed into the playoffs, and some guys rise to it, and maybe he will. But normally when we see, like, those moves made, it's out of, like, some kind of desperation, you know, if the desperation doesn't come along. But IKF goes on the IL, Peraza comes up. You know, when he comes up, there's more spots. It seems like Volpe is a guy that won't spend a lot of time at AAA.
No, right, exactly. And look, if you think – and look, the Yankees have to answer this, but I think what it comes down to is, do you think, you know, Volpe can make a much more significant impact in the playoffs than an IKF can? And if the answer is yes, if they think the answer is yes, then who gives a shit about the service time or any of that other bullshit? Then you call him up. But if they think it's going to be a wash, or they think he's not ready, then obviously you can hold him out until next May or whatever. But I think it's at least got to be in consideration.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who's batting 238 in double A, and you got versus a guy who's batting like, you know, 270 in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. And is not a disaster at shortstop. Has had errors. I don't know what Volpe's defensive stats have looked like, because he's projected to not even necessarily be a shortstop.
Yeah, I think he's projected to be like average at best in the field and maybe a third baseman.
So, you know, he's not necessarily the better option right now.
Yeah, it would be nice. Look, we'll have to see. It would be nice. Maybe IKF or Donaldson can take off. It'd be nice to get a little more out of the left side of the infield. But other than that, really no complaints. The All-Star right now, it's Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, and Trevino, if voting ended, would go today from the position player side, and then whatever pitchers.
I only saw Judge on that list.
Well, like Judge for starter, but the way they're doing it, is if you come in second, you're automatically reserved something. Yeah, so that's where Stanton, Trevino, and Rizzo are coming
from. Gotcha. All right, I thought it was still a coach's decision. I don't really pay much attention to the All-Star game. Like, I don't want anyone to make the All-Star game. Take the days off, rest.
Well, let's talk about that week. Especially this way, for the past, I think, decade, you know, you didn't come back until the Friday after the All-Star game. Now they have a doubleheader that Thursday in Houston. I mean, talk about getting kicked in the dick coming off the All-Star break. Yeah. You know, hope you enjoyed the break. Bang.
And you play the Orioles, who stink, but you're going to Baltimore. We're going to be there. The Baltimore Orioles play up to play the Yankees.
They do. And by the way, I just need to take a shot at the Orioles. They tripled their ticket prices this year. I don't know if it's to pay for that stupid fucking wall that they moved back in left field, but the tickets that, you know, me and my dad would usually get field level for like 40, 45 bucks, you know, 15 rows back field level. Those tickets are over $100 now. I'm like, fuck, man.
When was the last time you did that? And on StubHub or on the stadium?
No, we would go on Orioles.com and you could get field level for like, I don't know, maybe after fees it was like in the 50s, but it was definitely not triple digits. I mean, I'll pay for it, but it's just like just kind of a little minor inconvenience.
Oh, is that for that Saturday game? What's your game plan down there? How many games are you going to that weekend?
I will go to the first two. I'm not going Sunday. I can't do all three. Yeah.
Yeah, I was curious. My wife asked me. She was like, is Nick going to all those games? I was like, you never know. He's
last
a madman.
Last year I did all three, and by like the third inning of the Sunday game, I was just cooked. Like, it was a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like an awful
You're just thing. Doing the one, right?
Yeah, I'll be down there Saturday morning. I've got kids. Got to be home. Got to be dad. But yeah, no, I'll get down there.
You'll be at Pickles by 2?
No, probably like 4:30. I will get down there at... I'm trying to get down there at like 12. So like I got a crew of like people coming to brunch. Like I don't automatically count you into brunch because I know like you like to be ready in case I need you to play. But I've got a group of like 15 people at this point who like,
jeez,
we're going like my nephew. I have an adult nephew and him and his girlfriend are coming, and he was just like, so what do I need to know? And I was like, you made a hotel reservation? He was like, yeah. I was like, 12:30, be in the lobby. I might not be there till 1, but I might be there at 12:30. And if I'm there at 12:30, I'm leaving at 12:30, so be there at 12:30. And then, yeah, we'll just go and get some boozy brunch and then maybe hit One Star Country Club, you know, hit the Fed Hill area. Pull up to Pickles around like 4:30, just mangled. I won't remember a moment of the game. The Yankees just happened to be there. But like if people are there, I'm probably just going to get standing room only or whatever, hang out in right field, drink beers, yell obscenities, point to where Paul O'Neill hit a home run. Just be like, that's a day.
So you're going to buy standing room and then I assume try to get upgraded. You're not going to stand in right field for 9 innings. I'm calling bullshit on that.
I don't know how to get upgraded. The guy who we knew who worked for the governor no longer works for the governor, so I can't get his suite.
Gosh, shit.
One time a couple years ago, I just walked into the suite level. Like I walked up there and I was like, "Oh, hey, I film food videos you guys sell this thing at this level, so I'd like to buy it. And they were like, okay. I was like, all right. And they were like, yeah, okay. I go, all right, cool. Let me just, I've got a couple friends, so let me just let them know. And they were like, oh, you just a couple? I was like, yeah, just a couple. And they said, all right, they can come in. It was eight people. They were not happy with me. But like, we're in. What are you going to do?
It's crazy there. It's so much different than Yankee Stadium. Like, and I don't mean this as a dig. It feels like it has a minor league atmosphere. Like it's all these old, nice people welcoming you in, like these retired senior citizens. Welcome to Oreo Park. Like you go to Yankee Stadium, it's like phone, wallet, keys. Everything's got to come out. Let's go. And then you go to Camden Yards and it's like you're going to your grandparents' house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not – I'll see like what people want to do. I tried to get like a luxury area, but they were sold out because, you know, it's the Yankees. But I'm not going to worry. You know, I'll spend my ticket money on beers.
They have some like all-you-can-eat like thing in left field, I think.
Yeah, I looked into that as well.
I don't think it includes alcohol though.
They used to have a thing, the center field rooftop deck used to have an all-you-could-drink thing. But they, a lot of times for, like, Yankee games, you know, Yankees are in town, that's not an option. You know, they turn that off. So we'll see. But, you know, listen, I'm getting excited for Baltimore week. I think we all are.
Oh, it's going to be great. One of my favorite, it's one of my favorite weeks of the year, for sure. And then do you have any other trips to the stadium planned or not yet?
No. I was going to maybe the first week I was going to go to the Thursday game at Fenway because my wife was going to be up there for work. I don't think she's going to be there. I have thought about just going by myself because I'm off for the week. I've thought about just being like, hey, I'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm just going to go
fly to Boston.
Yeah, I'm just going to fly to Boston. We'll see. I'll look at tickets.
Nice.
Plane tickets. Not stadium tickets. Carrabba's. Give me those FanDuel tickets. I think that's all we got, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. Let's sweep the Athletics, beat Houston, and then roll into the weekend. Sucks no July 4th Yankee baseball. Really sucks.
So weird. A lot of weird off Mondays. Yeah, and the last thing, you know, as I always do when something significant happens, it's my platform, so I'll do whatever the fuck I want with it. I talk about it all the time. I have my political views. I think everyone's welcome to theirs as long as they're based in reality of, you know, elections weren't stolen or things like that. But if you have a woman in your life, girlfriend, wife, mother, sister, just someone you know, just know that like what happened this week with the Supreme Court like deeply impacts them. And I think a lot of people like to be bros. I used to be a bro and just be like, fucking, then don't be a whore if you want to have abortions and stuff like that. But like, that's not what it is. Women have miscarriages that without what is technically an abortion, which will be illegal in half of the states, would kill them. I have women in my life who have been through that. Most of you probably have, and you just don't know it. So I just encourage you, as we get into the fall and there are elections, really do some research. Don't vote because someone's got an R or a D next to their name. See who they are, what they're about. For the fellas, like, just be compassionate to women right now. It's really tough to be a woman. As a father of girls and a husband and all that stuff, it's something that's very important to me. So just do your research before you cast your vote. Figure out, you know, if maybe someone says your sister can have rights over her own body, but they don't think 18-year-olds need an AR-15. I don't know. I feel like one should mean more to you than the other. You can follow Nick on Twitter at NKirbyNYY. You can follow the show at George's Box Pod. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. And we'll, I don't know, man. We're 53-20. It's the end of June. We'll see you at the parade because the parade's happening.